being tired, sad, disappointed, frustrated, embarrassed, these are not excuses for children to be able to behave however they want, even if they have diagnosis that makes those behaviors more prevalent and more challenging to overcome.
Hi, welcome to the Parenting Bridge podcast. I'm Dr. Michelle Alden, a licensed professional counselor, parent coach, and family therapist, and I'm here to help you to build a bridge to your best family possible.
So I want to talk to you today about this whole idea of kind of inner and outer control and how we can help you as a parent to play a role in your child's development for inner and outer control. Because as kids develop, and usually they learn this at young ages, they move from outer control, you know, of people being, you know, just the rules and the guidelines of society and parents and kind of outside forces, to be able to have inner control, and which is kind of that voice or that stop sign in that you might have that keeps you from you know, behaving poorly or doing the wrong things. And what I found is the kids that I work with, the families that I help, there's not a stop sign. There's not even a pause button. And that our kids are really lagging in inner control. They don't have the skills to control themselves with internal reasons. Like, there's no stop sign. It's like they see it, they want it. It's kind of like toddler rules, right? And they're older, and so we're expecting that they know. Like, you know better, but really they may know cognitively, but they don't have the ability to put that in place. And so therefore, then they have to have this outer controls, right? Like, we have to have structure, and we have to have systems, and we have to have values and things like that in place, because they're not able yet to move on their own value system. And really, I mean, even our teenage kids, like, they need those things. Even our neurotypical kids need that strong value system. Our society needs it. That's why we have societal norms. And that's why we have consequences when those norms are broken, because there are people that they don't care about that, or they are not thinking about that, or maybe they don't have that inner or outer control. So then more force and more control has to be given. But you, as the parent, like, you have a role to respond and to be aware of the inner struggle of your child. And being aware of that inner struggle does not excuse your child's behavior. And so even being aware of their neurodiversity, their diagnoses, that they're tired, that they're hungry. Those are all really good indicators so that we know what to do, right? But we still have to put into place those outer controls. It's like, even though you're hungry, you don't get to just, you know, knock people out of your way, run to the front of the lunch line and grab your food. There's rules, right? There's things you have to do. And so that's a really good example of how we are aware of the inner struggle, but we have to still provide that outer control of you know, what the guidelines are. And what I've found, in especially in the last few years of working with families, with parents, is that that you may not have been taught that, and that you may not have had that as a child growing up. And so you're having a difficult time teaching that to your kids. Or the flip side, your parents were maybe very, authoritative. And so you've moved away from that, and you maybe moved away from, like, well, I don't want my kids to feel like they, you know, have to do this or they have to do that. But what happens in our society and what happens in our social groups, when there are no guidelines or rules, it is kind of mayhem. And that may be happening in your home. So I encourage parents, I encourage you to have value systems and to have it so that you know, like, this is how it's going to be in our home, and that your kids grow up knowing that. It doesn't mean that you're going to be able to force them to live that way when they're older. I mean, you know, they are going to be able to make their choices. And even as they're going through You know, there are things, you know, through junior high and high school where they're questioning your value system and questioning those things. There is a seeking that has to happen for themselves, but I think it's really important that they know what you believe in and why you believe it, and that they grow up with that. And I think on our role as parents, like, we just have to know that we are going to have to be a guide, and that we're responding to that inner struggle, but we also have to show them how to work through it. So, I mean, this is a big part of what I do as a parent coach, is that I'm helping parents to know what to do about the struggle. A lot of parents have had good training about understanding and listening to their kids and understanding their feelings, and trying to validate their feelings. And maybe you felt like your feelings were not validated when you were a kid, and so you've done a lot of work around that, and that's not how you want to raise your kids. And I am all about, like, validating what they're feeling, but I also feel like in that, I want you to think about what you want them to do about it. So we can tell a kid, like, hey, it's okay to be angry or frustrated, or when they tell us about something that made them mad, and you can identify, like, they're not really angry, they were embarrassed or they were disappointed. And anger is the most accessible emotion, because it doesn't make you feel weak. It's like, it gives you power and strength. And so to be able to say to a child, like, of course you were embarrassed, like, that was so embarrassing, and what can we do when we're embarrassed? How do we handle it? What do we do? You know? And I think that's where a lot of people get stuck. It's like, we validate kids' feelings, and then we kind of shift them to the blame. Well, you know, you were embarrassed. And then we, like, maybe go to the school and be like, hey, they didn't mean it, they were embarrassed, you know, all of these, like, all these reasons and excuses for why they acted that way. But none of that does anything to help our kids to move through those emotions. And so as a parent coach, I feel like it's, you know, that's what I want to help to guide you in, is so that we don't just get stuck. I work with families where I feel like the whole family is kind of stuck in the emotional reactive part of their brain. So something happens at school, the kid tells you about it, then you have a reaction and you go to the teacher, or you're trying to deal with it on this end. But really, like, we are designed, we can meet these challenges, our kids can meet challenges, and we can help them through it. Yeah, that was really embarrassing. And yeah, I know it made it even worse when people laughed. But let's talk about what we can do when we get embarrassed next time, because we cannot promise our kids that they're never going to get angry again, or that if they use these skills, they're never going to get embarrassed or, you know, be disappointed. They're going to have all of those things in their life, and we want to know how to do it. So I like to start with just encouraging you as the parent to really think about how in your family you handle simple things like anger. Like, when you're angry at your spouse or your partner, or even at your kids, what do you do? Like, you may do things that you don't want to do. You know, maybe you yell, maybe you slam things around, maybe you just walk away and don't communicate. But what do you want to do with anger? How do you want to handle it? Really think about that. And what do you want your kids to do? It's so much easier to help our kids to do something rather than to get them to stop doing something, right? So when you tell a kid, you know, stop doing that, or don't do that, or why are you doing that, they're just stuck. Like, that doesn't give them anything. But when we are able to say, when you're angry, here's what's okay to do. And then just know that, because you're going to have to be aware of that inner struggle in the child, they're not going to have the skills to think, oh, this is that time when I'm really angry and here's what I should do. They're not in that part of their brain where they can think about that. So then you're going to have to help them. Like, I see you're getting frustrated, so remember, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We're going to go for a quick walk, and we're going to come back and we'll try this again. And so you're working on what you can actually do about that in the moment with your child, not just expecting them to use their coping skills, or, hey, you told me that next time you were angry, you were going to, you know, tell me that you needed to take a break. Remember, these kids are not set up to do that. They're not able to access that. They're lagging in that inner control to be able to think, like, I'm about ready to do something crazy. I need to do something, right? And so hopefully as you've matured and grown, that you know, even though you may have times when you blow it and mess up, that you have enough inner control to be able to see, like, okay, next time I have to catch it earlier. I can remember I was in a really toxic relationship and I would feel like I kind of would emotionally, sometimes physically, but mostly emotionally, get backed into a corner where, and when I would get backed into a corner, then it's like I would finally come to a place where I was just like, beyond myself, like, you know, like going to fight my way out of it, you know, like just, I was never it was never physical, but it was just more emotionally, like you just feel out of your mind. Like, and I hated that feeling. I hated that feeling of losing, feeling like I lost control. And then, you know, being the one that's like yelling or, you know, or whatever. And so I remember going through this process and working with a coach to talk about how best to come ahead of that. And I found that for me, it was to not get backed into the corner, to stay out of conversations that were going to back me into that kind of a corner, and to recognize that as early as possible. And I encourage parents to do that as well, to recognize what's happening with your kids as early as possible, not to get them stuck there, not to necessarily have a conversation about why are you sad or what are you know, or what's going on, but to help them to like, hey, I can see you're getting frustrated. I can see that you're really sad or disappointed that this isn't going to work out with your friend today. So let's think about what we can do. And at first they're going to be so distraught and in the emotional part of their brain that they're not going to want to come to solutions. And if you catch it too late, they're already in that emotional reactive part. They're not going to come to solutions for a while. They're going to have their fit or their meltdown or whatever. And you're going to have to ride it out with them until we can get to a place where it's like, gosh, like that was really hard. I know you were so disappointed, but let's talk about what else we could do. You know, instead of being able to go to your friends on Saturday, what are some other things we could do that day? And it's, and next time, how can we, you know, do it better? And depending on how escalated your children are and how stuck they are in their reactive part of their brain, you may have to come up with the suggestions and you may have to say, you know what we're going to do instead? Because I can see like you're totally bummed. So here's what we're going to go do. We're going to go do X, Y, Z. And you lay it aside. And that may seem really counterintuitive if you've been in counseling for a long time, if your kids have been in counseling for a long time. What? We're not going to talk about their feelings and go over it? Because I've found like most kids aren't going to process it by talking about their feelings. They're going to process it as you kind of guide them through it. And then they may go back to it and revisit it. They may, you know, some kids will reenact it or retell the story or whatever. But if you go into the emotions too hard with them and then you put it all on someone else, especially when it's like disappointment or embarrassment that these other people did that, you keep them kind of stuck there when instead we want to help our kids to move beyond that and to work through that. I want to also tell you, I want to take an opportunity to tell you about an opportunity that we have for you at Healthy Foundations. We have what we're calling the summer sanity subscription, and it's to the playroom because it is, we're ending in at the time of this recording, we're heading into summer. And so, and I'm going to do a whole episode on summer stuff, but, you know, you may be dreading it. Your school year may not be ending very well, but you may be really dreading what's coming next with summer and what you're going to do with these kids and all of the challenges with it. And so I want to encourage you to join our playroom where you're going to get you're going to get coaching, help right in every week. And so let me tell you what this summer subscription includes. It includes the playroom, which is your weekly virtual community for coaching and asking questions, laying out your situation. What do I do about this? Or this keeps happening. All summer long, you're going to get that. It's going to be $27 for the first month. And then it renews for $47 a month. You're going to onboard to get into the playroom takes less than 5 minutes. And you're going to join live every single Wednesday at noon Mountain Standard Time. Or you can catch a replay. You get the replay and you can watch it over and over, especially if you were coached, like you're going to want to watch it again. And like, what did she say? Like, that was perfect for my situation. Or if you missed, you get to watch it at your earliest convenience. You can cancel anytime. You're also going to get the family fun list, which has over 50 different simple ideas for creating fun this summer. You're also, with this summer sanity subscription, you are going to get Parenting the ADHD Kid course, which is, you're going to get it at a bonus of $25, and normally it's $99. So you're going to, access that ADHD course this summer, you are going to be just so far ahead of what you're going to do for this next school year if you have an understanding of how your kid's brain works. And even if your kid doesn't have ADHD, which most kids, that's kind of their first diagnosis, but it's autism or something else, like this is really has to do with how their brain's working. So you're going to want that course. It's going to really help you. So don't let time, steal your joy this summer. Like, be ready, get the coaching that you need. The playroom is open all of the time, but this Summer Sanity subscription is going to really help with the challenging behaviors. We really want to help you to create the family that you want. There's another option. We have a premium offer that you might also want to take advantage of. If you take advantage of this before June 1st, it's going to be $300, and you're going to get an hour of one-on-one personal coaching and encouragement with me about your specific challenges. And that consultation, you have all summer to complete it. You have to complete it by August 15th. You're going to get the Parenting ADHD Kid on Demand course for free as part of your premium offer. You're going to get the first month of the Playroom for free, and then it will automatically subscribe you after that. So it is a great deal for you and your family. And I just wanted to tell you about that. So I want you to just think about your child's inner and outer control. Think about your own inner and outer control and what that means, and how you can just kind of see that in your kids. If you want to learn more about that, I have a whole part of that in my book, Parenting Emotionally Distressed Kids, that you could also learn more about that. Thanks for joining us today, and I hope this was helpful. And please join the playroom. You will not be disappointed.
Thanks for listening to The Parenting Bridge. Do you want to learn more about building a bridge to better behaviors? Pick up a copy of Dr. Michelle Alden's new book, Parenting Emotionally Distressed Kids. Or, for more resources, you can click on the link for Healthy Foundations. If you would like to leave a comment or a question for Dr. Alden, there's a link in the notes. We'll see you next time. And remember, things can always get better.